This is Kennedy Classics with Dr. D. James Kennedy. Welcome to Kennedy Classics.
Welcome to Kennedy Classics. I'm Jerry Newcomb.
And I'm Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. The right to life is guaranteed in America's founding documents. Yet despite that right, more than 55 million unborn babies have been killed since 1973 through legalized abortion. Amazingly, the most dangerous place to be in America today is in your mother's womb.
On today's program, we'll take a deeper look at the why behind this controversial issue. And we'll also share with you a powerful resource that will help you and those you share it with to understand what's at stake and to defend precious human life. And we'll give you an opportunity to make your voice heard on this and other crucial issues.
And I'm John Sorensen. On this Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, I'll be back later in the program to tell you about how you can have everlasting life.
But first, my father, the late Dr. D. James Kennedy, explores the many common justifications for abortion in our society and offers powerful biblical truth in his message, Life, an Inalienable Right.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139, beginning with verse 8, may we hear the inspired word of our God. If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And may God speak to us today through this portion of his holy word, and may his name ever be praised. Amen. It was in 1973 that the Supreme Court passed the infamous Roe v. Wade decision, which unloosed a river of blood, which has resulted in the death of more than 40 million unborn babies in this nation, far more than the total population of the great nation of Canada. Our Constitution declares, or rather our Declaration of Independence, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, and among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is good to remember the context in which that decision was made in 1973. We had just come through the decade of the 60s. All of the moral values, traditions, and rules and laws of life that had governed Western civilization for 2,000 years had been, it seemed, suddenly jettisoned in one decade. And acting in that moral vacuum, the Supreme Court moved to provide what they felt was a solution to the problems created by the blatant and epidemic immorality in America. And so the sin which was engendered in the sexual revolution was to be covered up by the abortion revolution. And so it began the parade of the dead. How could we have allowed such a thing to happen? Well, it begins with semantic manipulation, and it always begins with semantic manipulation. In 1857, in the now infamous Dred Scott decision, the Supreme Court of the United States declared that slaves were not persons in the sense of the constitutional law, and therefore they were not protected by our Constitution or by our laws. Now we look back on that and we say, how could people have been so morally blind, so morally obtuse? How can there have been such moral turpitude as to suppose that these were things which people owned and could do with such as they will, even to the point of killing them? Well, the Bible tells us that light has come into the world and men prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved that they are wrought in darkness. And so it was done in large measure in darkness, in private, in secret, on large plantations, and hid from the eyes in large part of many people. But then men like William Wilberforce in England spoke over and over and over again to the Parliament, had a committee which gathered information on the treatment of slaves and the murder of slaves, and finally more and more light came, and though they resisted it steadfastly, finally the light blinded their eyes, and Parliament voted in 1807 to do away with the slave trade. It took light invading the darkness. In 1936, another high tribunal, the Supreme Tribunal of Nazi Germany, declared that Jews were not persons and therefore not protected by the laws of Nazi Germany. And this opened the gates to the Holocaust, and millions died. And we say, how could those people have been so morally blind? How could they have been so morally obtuse? How could such moral turpitude have existed without the people doing something about it? Well, in large measure, it was done in darkness, in private, hidden behind the electrified walls or fences of concentration camps. But finally, the war ended, the gates were thrown open, and light was shined upon the atrocities, and people responded with horror. They were revolted. They were aghast at what had taken place. But it took the light to do that. In 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States again demonstrated their consummate wisdom by passing Roe v. Wade. And in that, they said that unborn children are not persons and are not deserving of the protection of our Constitution and our law, and thus the American Holocaust was unleashed. This has only been done because of the complicity of the media. Think about it. It is virtually impossible to get any television station in America to show a picture of an aborted child. But how many tens of thousands of victims of the Nazi Holocaust have been shown on television? How many pictures of slaves in productions like Roots have been shown on television? How many times did we see the burnt bodies of people in the Vietnam War brought right into our living room? But never a picture of an aborted child, because they know that if the light were shined in that darkness, that abortion would end. Sherry Richard, who is a sonographer who takes sonograms of babies in the womb, said something, I think, very, very perceptive. She said this: if wombs had windows, abortion would end tomorrow. Think about it. If the light shined into that darkness, people would see the atrocities and they would be appalled. They would recoil in horror. And they would say, this must end. How could people allow such a thing as that to happen? But it happens in the secrecy behind the well-protected doors of abortion clinics and behind the walls of a mother's womb, unseen and unheard. I recall a woman had an air bubble injected into her womb in order to carefully be able to delineate the walls of the uterus. But she found that when she lay down at night, the bubble covered the mouth of the baby and the baby cried and kept her awake. She complained to her doctor. If such a bubble were over the face of a baby being aborted, it would scream bloody murder. For that is precisely what it is. And there would be an end to abortion. So we have the somatic deception. Not a person. It's something else. It's a glob of tissue. It's POC, products of conception. Or as some clinics have told people, they've had the so-called fetus in various stages of development. And as you know, at one time it appears to have gill slits. They are not gill slits. It has nothing to do with fish. They never connect to the lungs. They produce the ears and other glands in the neck. But they have deceived people into saying this was a fish-like evolutionary ancestor. And some clinics say to a young lady, you see, it's just a fish. We kill fish, don't we? And so the deception goes on. Abortion is the only surgical procedure where a physician is not required to tell them of the dangers of complications that are involved in the surgery, nor even tell them what it is that they're doing, that they're removing a baby. The head of one of the largest pro-life organizations in this country told about speaking to a number of doctors and asking them this question. Do you realize that that is a human being, that is a baby that you are killing in abortion? He said every one of them got mad. Why? Because they didn't believe that it was a baby? Absolutely not. They knew precisely what it was they were doing. They got mad because this man could assume there was some possibility that they were so ignorant that they didn't know what they were doing. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the women to know what they are doing. Abortion is based upon ignorance. My friends, what is an abortion? It's interesting. The media will never let you see. There's this media blackout. Yes, Holocaust, Vietnam, slavery, but no babies that have been aborted. They reach in with forceps and rip off a leg. And then they rip off another leg. And then they rip off an arm. And the baby may still be alive. And the baby is fighting to avoid the forceps, according to sonograms. And then they rip off the other arm. And then they reach in and crush the baby's head to pull it out. Or they inject the womb with a saline solution that burns the baby alive. I hope
that appalls you.
I hope it makes you sick at your stomach. The media knows if that were shown on television, this horror would come to an end. Woe unto that nation that sheds innocent blood, the Bible says. Woe unto those people who have complicity in it. What were the Germans doing? What were you doing? Your grandchildren may ask, what were you doing during the American Holocaust? What did you do to stop it? And they will look back on these days when all of the details will be known to everybody and the mask of silence and secrecy and the darkness will have been taken away and light will have shone and they will see it in all of its ghastly horror. And they will say, how could you have lived during all of that and never lifted a hand or lifted your voice to stop it? Dear friends, we need to realize the value that God has given to life. All life, even in its tiniest form, is precious to God, who is the author of life. May we pray. Dear God, have mercy on us. Forgive us for our complacency. Grant us the grace and wisdom and humility to repent of our sin, to turn from our wicked ways, and, O God, heal our land. In thy name, O Christ, we pray. Amen.
Have you experienced the mercy and the grace that Dr. Kennedy just spoke about in his prayer? Have you received the gift of eternal life that Christ came to give? Only Christ can say, behold, I make all things new. No matter your sin, and we have all sinned, Christ can forgive and redeem. God is infinitely merciful, and He doesn't want to punish us, but He must punish sin, and that's where we have a problem. But in His mercy, He solved our problem for us by sending His own Son to die on the cross and purchase a place for us in heaven. And Christ offers us heaven as an absolutely free gift. It wasn't free for Him, but it is free for us. Today, you can receive the gift of eternal life by faith. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I know that I'm a sinner and not worthy of your mercy, but I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for offering me an abundant life filled with purpose and joy. I receive this gift and ask you to help me to live for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer sincerely from your heart, then Christ says, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Welcome to the family of God. To help you with your new walk with Christ, we want to send you Beginning Again. This book was written by Dr. Kennedy for new believers. It will help you to grow in your faith as you read it and put it into practice. To receive your copy, just write to the address on your screen or call our toll-free number or go online at truthinaction.org. God bless you as you do.
My father preached that message in 1992. I'm constantly amazed at how prophetic his messages are. It's as if he could see ahead all the way to where we are today with all the conflicts related to this crucial issue. Because my father understood the Bible, he was able to look around and see what we were headed for.
Indeed, abortion continues to be a major political battleground as a result of the Supreme Court forcing its own will on America in 1973. How thankful we should be to those on the front lines who've stood up for life over the years. Though the number of abortions annually is still staggering, it's gone down in recent years, thanks to those fighting it on every level.
Abortion has devastated our nation. We have lost one-third of the lives that had been conceived in God's image and likeness since the 1973 Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision.
We've seen, tragically, over 55 million abortions since the passage of Roe v. Wade. Our nation is aching under the loss of these children, under this violence, under this great injustice. We're missing brothers and sisters and cousins and best friends and boyfriends and girlfriends. Everyone this generation is missing somebody else. When you look at the polling data, this generation of young people is actually more pro-life than our parents. In some cases, we're more pro-life than our grandparents. This generation is pro-life.
Kristen Hawkins is the president of Students for Life of America.
Today, we're at well over 700 active groups on college and high school campuses that we're working on. They recognize that abortion is wrong and it kills a human being. Now, it doesn't mean we have a lot of work to do, because we have to fight through apathy and talking about, is abortion wrong versus should abortion be illegal? Those are two different questions on the college campuses.
Another important work on campus, says Hawkins, is to challenge the claim of nearby Planned Parenthood clinics that an unplanned pregnancy should end in abortion.
We can tell women they don't have to sacrifice their education or sacrifice the life of the child. That's going to be difficult, but there's somebody there who's going to be able to help her. So you can make a huge impact in terms of reducing abortions being on the campus, but you're also there influencing the culture, influencing voters, those who are going to go on and have children and then start instilling their values in their children.
A former intern at Students for Life and a leader in today's pro-life movement is Lila Rose. She founded the organization Live Action that works to expose the true colors of Planned Parenthood.
My first undercover investigation when I was a freshman at UCLA was to investigate Planned Parenthood's cover-up of sexual abuse of minors. I posed as a girl who was just 15 years old, and I walked into a Planned Parenthood clinic just miles from my school, from my dorm. The clinic worker took me behind the check-in counter and she said, "Tell me what's really going on." I said, "Well, he's 23, he's a lot older, what do I do?" And she said, "Just figure out a birth date that works." She told me to lie on the paperwork to say that I was older than I really was, so no one would know about this man, this much older man.
Lila's group continues to expose questionable and allegedly illegal practices of Planned Parenthood, like this clinic worker cooperating with a pimp and a prostitute who she didn't realize were actors.
We're involved in sex work. We have some girls that are kind of younger, like 14, 15, that they might need an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And how's the best way should they be able to go about that?
The veil was being ripped away from Planned Parenthood's very carefully polished public image.
Charmaine Yost is another of this generation's pro-life leaders heading up Americans United for Life in Washington, D.C.
As the legal arm of the pro-life movement, we were looking at that and saying, how can we best help people on Capitol Hill to understand why they need to take a look at this federal funding that is going to Planned Parenthood?
So Yost and her team of attorneys assembled a legal case against Planned Parenthood.
We very carefully documented each allegation against Planned Parenthood, starting with the times that their clinics deliberately undermine parental notification laws, to the instances where they are deliberately disseminating RU-46, the chemical abortion drug, against the FDA protocol.
Lawmakers took action. Already, 10 states have voted to defund Planned Parenthood, and the fight goes on at the federal level.
We see this as a really good marker for the times ahead, as Planned Parenthood is being called to account for how they are spending over $1 million a day in our taxpayer funding.
While Yost leads the battle for life on Capitol Hill, a new generation is rising up to lead the fight for life.
There is a movement afoot in this country, and we are gaining ground, and that's an exciting, exciting thing to be a part of.
Our job as Christians is to go out there and to not back down. Speaking the truth boldly in the public square, on our campuses, in our churches, where sometimes our pastors may be afraid to speak the truth. The battle's fierce every day, but because this is God's fight, we will be victorious.
What an encouragement to see so many young people committed to the pro-life cause. despite a biased media that is clearly pro-abortion, and despite many school officials and many politicians who promote the pro-abortion position, there is a growing remnant of youth who can see through to the truth, despite the myriad of lies that have been foisted on them. Any way you try to frame the debate, the fact is, an unborn baby is, well, a baby.
We live in a culture where many of our elites actively promote disinformation, not just on abortion, but on a number of issues. Do you ever wish you could stand up and be heard? That your opinion as a Christian could get out there on the vital issues? Truth in Action Ministries is giving you that opportunity. Contact us today to get your 2014 Spiritual State of the Nation survey. Fill it out and return it to us as soon as possible. We'll tabulate the results and send them to President Obama, current leaders in Congress, and select media outlets. Make your voice heard among the powerful elites of our country. Simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org. When you do contact us, please also consider giving a generous tax-deductible gift. It's your donations that keep this ministry going, and we're so grateful for that. When you give, you're helping to broadcast hard-hitting biblical truth all over America and the world. And for your generous gift of any amount, we have a brand new pro-life DVD series called Abortion, Myths and Realities. This powerful 6-DVD set brings together some of D. James Kennedy's most compelling and passionate messages about the sanctity of human life and the danger America is in when that sacredness is undermined. You'll want your children, your grandchildren, and your pastor to hear these vital messages, which are even more relevant now than the day they were preached. Perhaps you're able to give $30 or even $50 or $100 or more. Every bit helps. So please, send us your generous gift today and ask for Abortion, Myths, and Realities and your State of the Nation survey. Simply write to us at Box 6053, Albert Lea, Minnesota, 56007, or call toll-free 877-942-7677, or go online to truthinaction.org.
My father strongly felt that America's only real hope is for us to get back to God. Please let your voice be heard by getting and filling out the Spiritual State of the Nation survey. And don't forget to ask for the 6-part series of classic messages from my dad called Abortion, Myths, and Realities for your generous gift. It's available only through this ministry. Thank you in advance for your support. May God bless you.
And may God bless America.
A video of today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. So please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of Truth in Action Ministries.